Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Like most everything else in 2020, politics were different this year. The handshakes and door knocks of the campaign season were often modified or even scrapped to protect public health. The peaceful transfer of presidential power, a bedrock of American democracy, suddenly seemed uncertain. And some questions we thought would be answered, like which party will control the Senate, remain unresolved. To recap the year in politics and look ahead to 2021, we turn now to WBUR's Callum Borchers. Hi there, Cal.
Hi, Bob.
So when the year began, Cal, there were two presidential candidates from Massachusetts, Senator Elizabeth Warren and former Governor Deval Patrick. Warren represented the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and the more moderate Patrick offered himself up as an alternative to former Vice President Joe Biden at a time when Biden appeared unlikely to win the nomination. Biden, of course, rallied to win the primary and then the White House. So what do you think that says about where Democratic voters stand as we head into the new year and the new Biden administration?
Well, I think it says that some of the more liberal policy ideas championed by the likes of Warren, such as single-payer health care, are gaining support but are not yet winning campaign issues. You know, Biden won by pushing for more incremental change. He would add a public option to the existing Affordable Care Act. Patrick and some other presidential hopefuls ran on that same proposal. But even here in Massachusetts, voters ultimately favored the candidate with the most Washington experience over the home state contenders. And you alluded, Bob, to how tumultuous this year of the pandemic has been. And Biden may have benefited from being viewed as the safest option during this turbulent time.
Well, given that, since the election, Biden has said that his victory is a mandate for Democrats and Republicans to work together. Could Biden's attempts to compromise with the GOP frustrate some of the more progressive elements of the president-elect's own party?
That's definitely something to watch in the coming year. You know, sticking with the healthcare issue I just mentioned, the Democrats who want a single-payer system aren't likely to stop pushing for it, and that could lead to tension with a White House that doesn't support it and knows it's a non-starter with Republicans anyway. Here in Massachusetts, single-payer healthcare is part of the Democratic Party's official platform. State Party Chairman Gus Bickford tells me the goal is to win the next governor's race and then try a version of Medicare for All at the state level that could then serve as an example for the nation.
So if we're able to develop a system that's equitable, we can be the test pot for the single payer so that people can see that it absolutely works.
Now, the next gubernatorial election isn't until 2022, so let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
And let's remember that any overhaul of Massachusetts' healthcare system would still have to get through the state legislature, which is no guarantee, even with Democrats holding a strong majority on Beacon Hill. Which brings us, I think, at this point in the conversation to the departure of House Speaker Robert DeLeo. He's the longest-serving speaker in state history.
That's right. DeLeo spent 12 years leading the Massachusetts House, and he's had to work with a Republican governor in Charlie Baker for the second half of his speakership. I think you'd have to say part of his legacy is maintaining a cordial bipartisan relationship during that period. And this may not be a very high bar, Bob, but another part of his legacy is simply breaking one of the worst streaks in politics. The last three speakers, Sal DeMasi, Tom Finneran, and Charles Flaherty, all left office under criminal investigation and were ultimately convicted of felonies. So DeLeo is the first speaker in 30 years to step down on his own terms.
So apparently, since he's going to Northeastern University, Cal, or at least that's the expectation, he'll be wearing a cap and gown at some point instead of a prison jumper.
Yes, and as a proud Northeastern alum, I will say that the red, white, and black of the Huskies looks a lot better than the orange jumpsuit.
All right. So we know that the history of House speakers who couldn't hold on to their job is sort of the opposite of how things have gone for mayors of Boston, who've traditionally served as long as they wanted. In fact, no Boston mayor has lost re-election since 1949. But the current mayor, Marty Walsh, could be in for a stiff challenge in 2021, assuming he seeks a third term. Right, Cal?
He could indeed. And it's worth noting that Walsh has not made his reelection bid official, as you indicated. But signs do point to another run. And he's already got two Boston City councilors lined up against him, Michelle Wu and Andrea Campbell. If either Wu or Campbell wins the mayor's race, they would be the first woman and the first person of color to lead the city. And both have already weighed in on why diverse representation is important. Here's Wu first and then Campbell.
We are in the midst of an ongoing pandemic, an economic crisis, a national reckoning on systemic racism, And it very much matters who is part of speaking up and being heard to shape that collective future.
We can and must confront our own history of exclusion, segregation, marginalization, if we are to transform systems so that they truly serve all of our residents equitably. To that, we need new leadership.
Now, the Boston mayoral election is scheduled for November of next year, and I think there are two things to watch as the race unfolds, Bob. You know, one is just how many Bostonians will agree that it's time for new leadership, and the second is whether that portion of the electorate consolidates around one candidate or whether Wu and Campbell split that vote, which could help Walsh.
Good point, Cal. And then there's the question of what campaigning will look like in 2021. Even with coronavirus vaccines now being distributed, it kind of seems unlikely that politicians will be able to get back to holding large events and embracing voters on the rope line anytime soon.
Yeah, some of the disruptions to campaigning in 2020 are carrying over, at least for now, and they can be significant. You know, I think one of the underreported factors in this year's Democratic Senate primary between Senator Ed Markey and Congressman Joe Kennedy was the suspension of big fundraisers in the spring. Those had been one of the Kennedy campaign's primary sources of campaign cash, and so the pandemic may have hurt him more than Markey, who relied more on small dollar contributions that continued to trickle in and helped him hold on to a seat.
In the moments we have left, Cal, what else are you keeping an eye on for the new year?
Well, of course, I'm watching the January 5th runoffs in Georgia, which will determine control of the U.S. Senate. Millions of dollars from Massachusetts are flowing to the Democrats in those races, by the way. I'm also continuing to monitor the rise of Congresswoman Catherine Clark, the Melrose Democrat who will be assistant Speaker of the House in the new Congress. She could be Speaker one day. I'm also watching, Bob, for a possible leadership change at the state Republican Party here in Massachusetts. I think we got to see whether the more Trump-aligned faction holds on to power here in Massachusetts or whether more moderate Baker allies are able to take over the state GOP. And, Bob, I'm holding my breath for a smooth presidential inauguration. You know, as you noted at the top, the peaceful transfer of power feels a bit fragile right now because President Trump has refused to concede defeat while promoting unfounded claims of fraud. I think most people, regardless of party, value the tradition of a civil handoff, but we can't be certain we'll get one this time.
And Inauguration Day, Cal, is January 20th. We'll, of course, have extensive coverage of that and much more in the new year. And I know you're going to keep on top of it. WBUR's Callum Borchers, thanks very much.
Glad to be with you, Bob.